This is a CNA podcast.
Aliens land in Singapore for the first time. In 10 words or less, explain to them what safe distancing is. Liam?
The distance that keeps one from harm.
Jillian?
Stay 2 meters away from each other to stay well.
I'm Lin Su Ling, and this is Heart of the Matter, where we take a deep dive each week into one of the most talked about news stories. Safe distancing. It's a buzzword that has entered Singapore's vocabulary this COVID-19 season. Many of us in Singapore know the term, but are we getting it right? As measures have been tightened over the last 2 weeks, with limits on gatherings and calls to defer non-essential trips to the mall, do we know what's at stake? And how would we score Singaporeans on safe distancing? Here to discuss these issues on this episode are Su Liang, Associate Professor at NUS Saucy Hawk School of Public Health. Welcome back to the show, Liang.
Hello, Su Ling.
And Gillian Koh, Deputy Director of Research at the Institute of Policy Studies. Hi, Gillian.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, I'm just going to start by zooming out a little bit. How worried are you about the coronavirus situation around the world? It has dominated headlines for months, but just this morning, the WHO voiced deep concern over the exponential growth, warning that over the next few days, we will likely see 50,000 deaths and 1 million infections worldwide. Let's start with you, Liang.
Thank you. Actually, I'm very worried now. We can see that the situation in Europe is reaching a peak and getting better in some countries, and similarly for the US. But in other less well-resourced countries, those in Asia and Africa and South America, they are starting to see the epidemic climbing in their countries now, and it's not certain how they are going to be able to cope.
Do you agree with that, Gillian?
Well, first, I think of the heartbreak that comes from people who are taken by this virus. Second, because of the disruption to everyone's life, I think people will be worried about their basic livelihoods. Where's the work going to come from? Where are the resources going to come from to keep going if you're not already infected? And then finally, for open countries like ours, at least we used to be open, we really are worried about how we can keep that at bay and make sure that as many as possible here in Singapore can stay safe and well.
So now that you've mentioned Singapore, I want to get into that. Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong called the situation a grave one last week when he spoke from the Istana. And what I'm worried about is there's a graphic on CNA where it shows the number of COVID infection cases in Singapore. And there's this red line that looks like a sheer cliff, a near vertical rise that springs from an uneven but kind of steady ground since the start of March. How worried are you of the situation in Singapore?
Again, I'm very worried. At this point in time, what we are seeing is a surge of cases thanks to importations from overseas. And this has in turn led to an increase in local transmission and local clusters. I think these next 2 weeks will be very crucial to see whether Singapore can get a handle of this and tighten down such that we will not have more clusters and more unlinked cases arising.
So now that you've brought up unlinked cases, I think that's something that I want to get into. The number of unlinked cases seems to be growing over these last couple of days, even weeks, notwithstanding the 1,000 over total cases in Singapore. Just yesterday, we've seen, number one, the record high of the highest daily increase of 74, but also just sheer more unlinked cases. Do you think that's the fresh imperative for safe distancing, Liang?
Yes, certainly. I think there is an even greater need now for safe or physical distancing so that there is limited transmission of the virus.
But then a lot of our approach in Singapore also is premised on contact tracing. Do you think that this focus on safe distancing suggests that contact tracing may be less important going forward? And how does this compare when Minister Gan Kim Yong just said that he will be ramping up contact tracing efforts to 20 teams just last week?
I don't think there is any one single strategy here, but rather a combination of strategies, each of which is important. The contact tracing teams do very important work because they help to trace contacts and prevent onward transmission of the cases. But at the same time, if we do not cut down the number of cases in Singapore, even if we have 100 contact tracing teams, they will not be able to do their job properly as the numbers go up. So a combination of contact tracing, safe distancing, ensuring that there's still proper resources in the hospitals to care for the patients, as well as being able to ramp up testing. These are all important components of a strategy to deal with COVID-19 in Singapore.
So, Julian, I want you to weigh in here. Is it clear what Singaporeans need to do when it comes to safe distancing? For instance, a key question is, if you're well, you're not under quarantine or stay home order or other restrictions when it comes to movements, do you adhere to safe distancing, you know, the limits on numbers, but okay to go out and have your dinner? Or do you think Singaporeans should stay home as much as possible? Don't leave your house if possible. Do Singaporeans know what to do?
I think first off, Su Ling, you have to remember that when you keep referring to Singaporeans, actually the population in Singapore comprises Singaporeans, but a third of the people here are also foreigners. So we have to just talk about the public at large. I think that's quite important, first off. Second, with 100 cases that have yet been tracked back to how they came about, I think it's quite important that the public at large realizes, in answer to your question, that it's imperative that we limit moving out of our safe zones, which are presumably our homes or very controlled environments, perhaps if we have to be in our workplaces properly cared for, that we don't go out unnecessarily. And I think it's important. You've seen in other countries where the tagline is stay home, save lives. And therefore, if we really want to curtail further spread, we actually have to indeed limit all sort of movement to the bare essential. And thirdly, I think if we don't do this, then we are forcing ourselves into a complete lockdown, which makes life extremely difficult. Right now, we can still move out where it's things we need to do, which are really vital, then there's still that bit of freedom and some assurance that if you need to get something desperately done, then you can still do that. But if you're in a complete lockdown, you'll see that, as in other countries, it's really really difficult. You really change, it'll change your life completely. So how far do we want to go?
Liak, I want to get you way in here. Do you have any advice for, say, OH homes or foreign worker dormitories who have to house people in close proximity?
I think what the task force has done is to ban all visits to old folks' home. I think that kind of a physical segregation in many ways helps to prevent the spread of the virus to these places where the people are more vulnerable. For foreign worker dormitories, I think that's more challenging. Again, I think it is about trying to limit the physical interactions as far as possible and explaining this to our workers so that they understand the rationale for doing things. I think the key, as in many things, is clear communication so that people understand why things are done instead of feeling there is an arbitrary decision that's being forced down on them.
Yeah, but you can see it's so important that it is one OH home, right? If it were, you find cases in one or two more OH homes, what if the it was necessary to contain the virus and there was a kind of decision that all OH homes should be closed from visitors for a month. So can you imagine the social impact for the residents there? Never mind, think of the 7 or 8 family members who feel distressed that they cannot visit their OH parents or aunts or uncles. I mean, of course, there's FaceTime and technology and all that. So what we have to do is to get together and decide that we don't want further spread. We want to contain, the situation. So, that's really quite a good example of how we just don't want to, take things lightly, because the social cost, never mind the economic cost, the issue of malls, for instance, just now, when I cited it, there are jobs, there are businesses at stake, even though the government's trying to manage that as well. So we try to contain it so that it's not sectors that are wiped out or lockdown, but it's maybe the one firm or one organization that has to be closed for a certain time. There are people, their interactions, their lives, their jobs at stake.
So one thing that emerges from this discussion is that we need to take social safe distancing very seriously. How ready are we to start finding people? What comes to my mind is that people were shocked by the news that safe distancing ambassadors were dishing out fines, which turned out not to be real. And there was a clarification that they don't actually issue fines, but it doesn't run away from the possibility of some business owners, event organizers, or even individuals who might be fined if they flout such regulations going forward. Is it time to treat it something as serious as, you know, even littering or smoking outside the yellow box? Is it time to, instead of just wagging the finger, we really need to back that up with enforcement?
We are a fine city, and I have no doubts that such enforcement will be not only possible, but will be done. We can see that in Wuhan, in Italy, and now in New York, these are being enforced. Lockdowns are being enforced, and it's quite likely that we can go there if there is continued widespread transmission of the virus in Singapore.
I think for Singaporeans who have grown up in the Singaporean system, I think that there's the social norming is quite strong, not just from fines, but over decades of public education. But certainly the COVID-19 situation puts a twist to it. You want the science of it to be properly explicated, but also shared widely and understood. And I think, the scientists, the medical practitioners in Singapore, as well as the government task force, has been good in attempting that. And so the question is, how far down does that public education reach? And then finally, as I suggested, a third of us in Singapore are from other countries. They don't have the background of these norms. They haven't been here for long. And I think they're also well-intentioned, but the outreach has to be in a language they understand, has to be in a manner they understand. So therefore, we have different means of trying to enforce the need for safe distancing, the markers, which are very explicit. Then we have the fines to kind of scare people who need to just do it because there's a deterrent effect. And then the slow but important percolation of what precisely is COVID-19 about, and how you don't know if you or your senior members of family or anyone else is going to be in that 5% or that 4% or that 3% that will be hit very badly and may actually lose their life because, there has not been an appreciation of the need now for that safe distancing. We'll see the outcome in 2 weeks' time, and we don't want to see that number escalate in terms of people who are critically ill, right?
So I want to point the camera right now at a particular group of people when there was talk about how we need to clamp down on mass gatherings, the restrictions imposed on 10 or less. There were news about some clubs offering promotions of that one last party before the rules kick in. And of course, subsequently, a lot of the clubs clarified that they would no longer be holding these parties. Are there key principles on safe distancing that we need to help younger people keep in mind? How do we convince, say, our stubborn but younger relative to quit partying and really keep social and safe distancing in mind?
I think this has already been done fairly comprehensively in multiple ways. One is by public education and by getting the schools or the institutes of higher learning, for example, for reaching out to the youth. And a second one has been the act of closing down a lot of these party spots, bars and clubs, for example. Their businesses have more or less been closed for this period. So it's a combination of these measures. Ideally, we would need to reach out to the young people in different ways as well, because they communicate more through social media than mainstream media. And it's good that the approach can be made in such directions. But Gillian, no doubt, has more to say.
I did watch and listen to some of the Vox Pop clips on TV and radio of young people responding to the in the early days of the implementation of safe distancing. And I think the young people came across as if they felt invincible. But you'll see that the task force also made it clear that there were younger people who were infected. Of course, these were primarily Singaporeans who were returning from colleges overseas. But it's not that you are young and therefore you are immune to COVID-19. I think that's quite important. While we're trying to say, okay, the old with comorbidities, other illnesses will make them even more vulnerable to COVID-19, it's not the case that young people will be able to just, be on water off a duck's back if they're exposed. No, not at all. I think that's quite important to put across. Secondly, there's so many other ways to connect online, for instance. And then it's not as if it's impossible to gather if it's just a small group of two or three people, as long as you practice safe distancing. So I think in Singapore, what we're seeing is that it's a very measured approach. It's not all or nothing. I think it's very important that we try to, kind of guard this safely, that we are still in a situation of a targeted, measured approach to how we contain COVID-19. Do we want to lose that? No, we don't want to lose that at all. And I think that's quite important because the younger people do value at least that sense of liberty and not be in a situation of total lockdown. That's what we're trying to avoid.
So bringing this to a close, just to ask the question, do you think Singapore is ready if we have to press the nuclear button and order everybody to stay at home? How far are we from that?
I think Singapore has been considering this for the longest time, ever since we've seen what happened in Italy and Europe and now in the US. So I think ready or not, this is something that we will have to be prepared for. As to what is the trigger, that's thankfully way above my pay grade. I suspect yes, they do, with how much community transmission that's going on, as well as whether we are seeing an exponential rise in clusters as well as unlinked cases.
Will we have to press the nuclear button? I think that indeed I agree with Liang that various scenarios are being played out within the government multi-ministry task force, and they've spelled that out clearly. I think it's important for members of the public to also play out those scenarios in their minds. Do we want what is now a sort of targeted approach, or do we want to press the situation out to the worst case scenario where it's a complete lockdown because there is community spread and transmission and it's no longer possible to contain that? Can we take such a hit? Well, I think we can. There is provision, as we know, with stockpiles of resources of all kinds to, do that. And also because we are highly networked country, it is possible to kind of use technology to keep life going. So that is possible. But it won't be pleasant. I think that's quite important. And secondly, we are a very dense city. So how are we going to enforce that? And thirdly, we are a very diverse city. So if the message doesn't get round, you have to go in a lockdown. How are you going to enforce that? How are you going to spread the message in various tongues to various people or various segments? And it's not tenable to really enforce it by saying you're going to find every single person. You will need lots of people to go out there and find those people and then find them. I think it will be difficult. So point being, let's not get there.
Well, thank you very much, Gillian and Liang, for joining me on this episode of Heart of the Matter. So there you go. Take safe distancing very seriously, guys. Heart of the Matter is available on the CNA website and app under the podcast tab. Subscribe to us also on Spotify or iTunes so that you don't miss an episode. I'm Lin Su Ling signing off. Behind this podcast also is the fantastic team of Crispina, Robert, and Erin Lowe.